I like to create affirmations, constructive ideas, so concise and so clear. They define my goals in few words and are easy to apply and to remember. It's a long sentence. It's a good sentence. Think about that. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. Good morning, Gertrude. Gertrude always says that she listens to the thought for today. And good morning to all of you other people who listen to these thoughts for today. I surround you with my pure white light of love and my blessings, and I see each one of you fulfilled in every desire of your heart right now.
Yes, I know.
Bum, 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 bum. I like to create affirmations, constructive ideas, so concise, so clear. They define my goal in few words and are easy to apply and remember. So, what would be some constructive affirmations that would be very concise? All is in divine order now. 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 That's a very clear, concise, constructive statement. And that keeps us out of the way because we have no idea what divine order is. We think we know. We think divine order is health, right action, harmony, peace, purity, abundance. We think that's what divine order would be. And so we say all is in divine order now, meaning that all is in divine order now. Ellen is clearing her throat over there, thinking that all is in divine order, and what she wants to do is to put her throat in divine order. Ellen, what is your throat?
And perfect. All in divine order.
Now.
Yeah.
All in, you know, it's interesting as we give these talks and as we lecture on these topics, I give people a statement, all is in divine order now. And then I say to the people, now how would you say about your health? How is your health? All right, Heinz, how is your health?
I'm holding perfect.
God, he blew it again. Sylvia?
All is in divine order now.
Right. Ingeborg?
All is in divine order now.
Right. Ellen?
All is in divine order now.
You had to get that barfa there. Now, Heinz?
All is in divine order now.
Super. Now, would you mind? Nope. Heinz, would you mind if everything were in divine order now?
It is.
Oh, boy, he is really quick on the draw there. That's great. It is all in divine order now. You see, this is the kind of affirmations we want. We want affirmations that are exciting, affirmations that speak to who we are and where we're going and what we want to accomplish in our lives. We want affirmations that mean something. They mean something. I'm whole and perfect. That's a good affirmation, but does that mean anything to you? What does whole and perfect mean to you? Does whole and perfect mean you don't have a cough, you don't have a headache, you don't have a heartache, you don't have a hurt, you don't have a lack of abundance? And if it means those things, well, that's all right too, but it's a good toughie. All is in divine order now. It makes it so easy. You know why it makes it so easy? Think about it. All is in divine order now. In other words, it's outside of ourselves. Something outside of ourselves is putting this cause in motion for our benefit. And when we think of something outside of ourselves doing it, it's nice to be able to let George do it, you know. It's a silly thing to do. But I am whole and perfect now. I am, oh boy, that's me that's got to say that. That's me that's got to believe that. That's me that's got to understand that I am whole and perfect right now. That's me. I cannot put the blame on somebody else. Oh, Jesus, help me. God, show me the way. And all those statements are outside statements. And, you know, I find it so humorous how we say that we're Christians or we say that we are philosophers of the Buddha, we are philosophers of Hinduism or of Muslimism or whatever you want. We say all these things, and every one of these philosophies teach this thought. It's done unto you according to your belief. It's done unto you according to your actions and your words and your thoughts. You act like that, young lady, and that's what's going to happen to you. You go around acting like a queen, and you're going to be a queen. And there's nothing you can do about it. And when you're a queen, you're not going to like it so much. Because you're going to have subjects. You're going to have people who look up to you, and you don't dare be a naughty girl. Because you're their role model. You have to be good all the time. You have to be beautiful all the time. You have to be healthy all the time. You have to be rich all the time. She says, well, most of that's okay. But you see, this is the point. What role model are we being? Are we being it for ourselves or for others? When you go around saying, I'm a queen, then you're a queen of what domain? Of your own inner domain? That's nice. Or of an outer domain? As you're queen of an outer domain, then you got to keep your mind in order about all your constituents or all of your people. You have to at all times see them whole and perfect. You have to at all times see them being beautiful. Now, the days of Robin Hood in England, Robin Hood was to take from the rich and give to the poor sort of thing, you know. Now, that wasn't too cool for the rich, was it? They thought they had something, and Robin Hood came and took it away and gave it to the poor. Now, why did he give it to the poor? Because he felt the poor were people who couldn't take care of themselves. He felt the poor were people who were underprivileged. He didn't help them at all. All they were afraid of was the sheriff of Nottingham was going to come by and pick up the good that Robin Hood left off for them. And the sheriff oftentimes did do that. Now, do we want to have a Robin Hood in our world who takes from the rich and gives to the poor, who takes from others and gives to us? Do we ever in our life, in our world, want something that doesn't belong to us? Think about that. Do you ever want something that doesn't belong to you? If you have anything that doesn't belong to you, what you are doing is you are stealing something. You are taking something that doesn't belong to you. And you will never feel happy with it. You will never feel happy until that ill-begotten gain, as they like to say, that money that is taken by theft or stealth is gone or whatever. So you say, well, we spent it all. Yeah, but now you got this car. You got this house. You got this clothing and things like that that you bought with that money. And every time you get in that car, get in that clothing, you think that's stolen money. That's money from drugs or from something else like that. And you think, yeah, I just don't feel good. The vibrations. And there's no vibrations there. There's an attitude that you put there. An attitude that you put there that this is not the way you want to live your life. This is not how you want to be yourself. And you see, the affirmations destroy us. The affirmations destroy us. When we have these affirmations that say we don't want something that doesn't belong to us. Now, what would be a better affirmation to say there, Ingeborg?
I have everything.
That's a good start. Now, what's a better affirmation?
I'm independently wealthy.
That's a good affirmation. Now, rather than saying, I don't have something that doesn't belong to me.
Everything I have is mine.
You're going in the right direction. Now, what you would say would be that I am the infinite. I am the allness. Everything in the universe is mine. And everything that I have is mine. I do not need to take from another. I do not need to steal or do all those things. Well, this is not what you'd say, of course, but this is the thought system you'd be going through. So, little children playing in the playground, playing in the sandbox, they share their toys. Unless their mother and father said, now, don't you let anybody else play with your toy. That's your toy. We bought that for you. Now, you play with that. Nobody else. You see, then they build up the idea of possession and ownership. But so long as the children have no possession and no ownership, you know what the kids have? Can you say it? Everything. It all belongs to them. There's no thought of stealing. There's no thought of it belonging to someone else and not to them. It's just a matter of enjoying it. Now, is this true for you too? Is this true for you? Are you the universe? Are you the allness? Does everything belong to you? Does everything have your name on it, so to speak? Well, I don't believe that. I don't believe that you believe that when you get into Ellen's car, that that's your car. I don't believe that when you get into Ellen's shoes, that those are your shoes, you know. Because you know they're her shoes. What if they fit perfectly? They're still her shoes. And if Ellen gave you those shoes, you would continue saying, Ellen gave me these shoes. These are Ellen's shoes, you know. And that's a silly thing, isn't it? Because that's possession. Now, if we just say, oh, yes, I have these new shoes. Aren't they lovely? I got them for a steal. I went down to the thrift store, and they didn't know what they were really worth, and I paid 25 cents for them. And I just came out of the other store, and I would have had to pay $25 for them. You know, wow, what a steal. Are you going to be happy in those shoes? Yeah. You won't be happy in those shoes because you'll always be realizing that you stole them. Now, if you pay the price that someone wants for them without bartering, without arguing about it, you always feel good about it. But when you go down south of the border here in Mexico, and you bargain with the people, and you barter, as the term says, you try to Jew them down. Are you happy with the purchase you have? Oh, I Jewed them down from $25 down to $18, you know. And I did this and I did that. And what do you think I think of you? I think, you cheapskate. You cheapskate. You couldn't afford it, huh? You couldn't afford the price they asked. You couldn't have made their life a little happier. Do you realize $13 was something? From 18 to 25, quick.
$7.
Now, do you think that $7 is going to make you happy? It would pay for them for living for maybe about 2 more weeks. And for you, it's just nothing. But you see, we're always trying to get bargains. We're always trying to get cheap things. And when we do, we usually do get something that's not quite perfect. Because it's not that the object in itself is not perfect. You understand that? The object in itself can be quite perfect, but your attitude of how you got it and how you manipulated somebody else to get it and how you Jewed them down or how you bargained them into your price. Oh, I feel so good. I've got bargained into the price. Yeah, and you go into Mexico and you bargain them down and you get a very low price and then you go to the restaurant and you eat whatever they ask. They say $50 for this or $25 for the meal. You pay it, and then you give them a tip. And you say, now, should I give them a 10% tip, a 15% tip, or 20% tip? What should I do? You know. And you see, it's not that money means anything to you. It doesn't mean anything to you. It has no value to you. If you were just to say, I am going for what I would like to have. We're speaking about Matsumo's mother and saying that she's driving a modest car. For her, it's quite a nice car, but it's a modest car. And she has a lot of money, and never correct me while I'm giving it back. And she has a lot of money, and she could buy any car she wants. She could light her cigars with $1,000 bills, you know. Do they have $1,000 euro bills? I imagine they do. But she could light her cigars with $1,000 euro bill and not think a thing about it. It wouldn't mean a thing to her. You see, we are so happy we bought these shoes on sale and they don't fit perfectly. We're so happy we bought this skirt or this dress because it was a sale and it's not exactly the color we want. We wear it twice, if that often, and then we put it aside. You see, we always want to go for top. We always want to go for best. We always want to go to be our personal best in everything we do. And the only way to do that is to have the ideal as our goal. Now, how do you arrive at the ideal? We say here, I create affirmations, constructive ideas so concise and so clear, they define my goals in a few easy to remember and apply words. Okay. I'm whole and perfect. A lot of people are very much rebellious about that. They say, but I'm not. I'm whole and perfect. Just say, I'm whole and perfect. I'm not. I got this broken look. Look, yes, broken look. I can't look with a straight look. I got this broken leg, you know. And I'm not whole and perfect. Okay. You see, if you're going to fight saying I'm whole and perfect by saying I'm not whole and perfect, by don't you recognize this is the fact, you know, then don't do that. You're defeating yourself. If you say, I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body, you have no idea what that means. You can't fight that because you don't know what it means. And that's good. You look at Eckhart Tolle's writings and his work, and you don't know what he means. You don't know what he's talking about. Oh, you have a glimpse and it feels good. But when you start practicing what he's teaching, and you just give yourself into it without any judgment, it's a miracle book. It's like the Course in Miracles, you know. It's a miracle book. These are great, wonderful things, but they're of no value when you begin to judge them, when you begin to be touched by them, when you begin to understand them. What's the first thing that happens in understanding? Misunderstanding. Because the more you understand, the more you realize there is to understand. The more you realize that there is to make yours. And that's difficult. That's very difficult. If you were to say, I'm whole and perfect, and you recognize that your hand is whole and perfect, and you touch yourself under your knee or something like that, it's whole and perfect, you know. Lots of areas of your body are whole and perfect that you don't even know about. But there's a few areas that you do know about that have been giving you a little attention, or calling for attention. And those areas make it difficult for you to find your goal. And so in times like that, you say statements like, I live in my
ideal spirit, mind, and body.
All is
in divine order.
My goodness, she learned so fast. All is in divine order. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. Those are terrific statements. Because you don't understand them. And I am not teaching understanding. I'm teaching principle. 2 times 2 is 4, and you have no idea why. Nobody knows why 2 times 2 is 4, except that we have said it. And so if you will just let yourself flow with the teachings, the principle, the concept, the idea, then it'll be yours. But if you try to understand it, you try to rationalize it and make it something for you to believe because you know what it is. Heinz, why are you a man? Because you're in a man's body, right? But what if you were a woman in a man's body? Would you still be a man, or would you be a woman? You know, there's a lot of people who have difficulty, and little boys, their mother says, you love to play with dolls? You're a girl, you know, you're just a sissy and this and that. And well, what's wrong with playing with dolls, you know? We make things about doing this here, which means that what we're doing is limiting ourselves. And we shouldn't do that. We shouldn't limit little children. Because perhaps that little boy is going to be a mother dad. He's going to stay at home and take care of the kids while his wife goes out and works. And they're going to have a perfectly heterosexual relationship between themselves, you know. Perfectly wonderful them relationship in which they have children and which they have a family. But he raises the kids and she goes off to work because she has the desire and talent for it. Now, does that make her evil or bad or unrighteous? Not in any way. Does it make him less than a man, less than a perfect being? Not in any way. But the thing is, society plays its little games and wants to say that this is right and that's wrong. And so the less we do that is understood, and the more we do that is on pure principle, the better. Do you love your son, we ask of the father? He says, oh my gosh, yes, yeah. Would you hug him and kiss him? Well, I hug him, but kissing him, he's 10 years old, you know. Why should you stop kissing him when he's 10? Well, that, you see, you don't understand it. But when you have a father and a son that love each other, and they hug and kiss each other, right up to the time that they both wander away into the outer world somewhere, how wonderful. What's wrong with it? And a mother, when she kisses her daughter, she kisses her son, and she's kissing the animals. And what's wrong with that? The only thing wrong is when she thinks there might be something wrong with it. You know, you don't kiss a dog, you know, my goodness. And then the dog comes and licks you right on the lips, and you say, oh, isn't that cute, you know. But you see, these are little ideas that we have, and to understand them makes us limited. But to just flow with them makes us universal. Can you recognize how wonderful you are? Can you say, all is in divine order? Can you even say, I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body? How high on the level of acceptance are you? Yeah? Let's ask Heinz a good question here. Heinz, are you a master? He's got to think about it, you know? He's got to think about it. And Heinz's first answer should have been, yes.
I am a master.
Yeah, yes, yes, I am a master. But you see, we first think about it for a half a second. And when we think about it for half a second, we're trying to see now, am I a master? In what area might I be a master? Am I a master of tying my shoes, or am I a master of spiritual principles, or what am I a master of? You know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You are at all times a master. You may not know that you are. You may not realize it. You may not act like it. But that's...
Oh.
What?
He acts like it. He is a master.
Thank you very much. So, I like to create affirmations, constructive ideas, so concise and so clear that they define my goals in a few words and are easy to apply and remember. So remember that sort of thing. It's a great little concept, and wonderful things can happen to you when you let that take place in your life. It's a simple thing. Don't try to understand it. Just go with it. Just remember what your mother and father told you when you were a little child. Ingeborg, clean up your room. Why? 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 Because I told you. Because I told you to do it. No other reason, you know. And you see, you have to get away from all the reasoning, all of the symbology, and get back to, because that is the way the principle works. So say with me, I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. Together?
I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body.
Once again.
I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body.
I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. And so it is. And I love you. I love you. I love you.